Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
Good to see all of you out today. Yeah, this is a Sunday before Christmas. It's a little bit different than our typical Christmases, I know, but nonetheless, we're celebrating. We're celebrating the birth of Christ and what that means to us. And I hope not only as we celebrate the birth of Christ, that you have Christ in your heart. That's the big deal right there. I hope and pray that you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm not going to deviate from where we've been on the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know that there's really a need to necessarily to preach a message, you know, based on the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. But as we look today, I'm going to continue our fruit of the Spirit study because it's goodness is what we're looking at today. And if we've ever seen goodness, it's displayed in the fact that Christ came and was born in that manger and came to give His life. He didn't just die on the cross, but He gave His entire life for us. All 33 and a half years, however long exactly He was here, He gave all of that for us. But even before that, there had to be the willingness to want to leave the glory and the splendor of heaven to come down here and give Himself. The decision had to already be made in heaven long before Christ ever physically came in that time period that He came. So that's what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating who Jesus is and what He's done for us. We're celebrating His goodness. So as far as our scripture today, I'm going to be in Psalm 107. We're going to look at the first 21 verses. If you'll stand with me as we look in Psalm 107, beginning in verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contempted the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder, fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities and affliction. Their soul abhorreth the manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word, and He healed them, and He delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Father, we pray Your blessings on the reading of Your word. We're thankful to be here and to be gathered together in Your house and worshiping wherever we're at, in homes and other places. We're thankful we can set aside this moment in time that we can focus on praising You, worshiping You, serving You, seeking Your counsel and Your guidance, God, that we can expound on Your word and learn a little bit more about You. Today, as we look into the subject of Your goodness, oh, we're so thankful that You're good. It's wonderful, God, to us to know that You are good. And thank You, God, for being good to us. Thank You for expressing that goodness in Jesus Christ. Forgive me of my sins today. Forgive us of our iniquities. Cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness, God. We pray that You use us for Your glory. I pray that you preach to us the message that we need to hear today. Help us to draw closer to you in a life and a time filled with chaos and unrest. Help us to look to you and your goodness. These things we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. The word goodness, I think it's pretty consistent throughout the whole Bible. You know, when we think about what good means, I'm going to say the definition we have for good is pretty spot on. It hasn't really changed a lot. Some words in the Bible that we'll use the word today and we'll go back and look up the biblical reference to it, it has a little bit different meaning in some instances. But good means exactly what you think it means. It means good. It means to be good. But it's kind of twofold when we look at the word good in Galatians 5, when we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, or when we're looking at in any other instance where it's talking about a relation to God, relation to Christ, relation to how we as Christians should be and about in being good. It's basically twofold. It means two things. It means to be good and to do good. So it always brings that opportunity to serve in there. It's one thing for us to choose to say, well, I'm going to start choosing today. I'm going to be good. You know, whenever you're trying to be on a diet, it's a bad time to be on a diet, isn't it, around Christmas? We're trying to be on that diet, and we go out, or somebody brings you that dessert you love. Well, I'm going to be good. I'm just going to eat one piece of that. You know, and we associate being good with restraint a lot of times. We think because we're deciding we're going to be good that we're going to be limited in enjoy. We're not going to enjoy things. So sometimes we can think good to be not necessarily a good thing for us. But to be good is to choose God. That's basically what good is. Good is to choose God. Good is to choose not only to have a relationship with Christ, to believe in Him as Lord and Savior, but it's to do those things which are good that God wants us to do. So in reality, we're not going to cheat ourselves out of anything by choosing to be good. I have a few verses of Scripture I want to share with you to just bring home that point of being good and relationships of God to being good. One thing to consider is this. Being good is not necessarily choosing to be fair. Let me explain myself. There's an instance that Jesus talked to some of his followers, and he was trying to teach them some lessons. He talked about these hired servants that came in to help work for a man that owned a vineyard. And so he went out early in the morning, gathered up some. He said, I'm going to pay you this certain amount of money, a penny or whatever it was. Then he went out the third hour after they'd worked for 3 hours, and he said, I need some more guys in the vineyard. I'm going to bring you guys in to work for me. I'm going to pay you a penny as well. He went out the sixth hour. And he gathered some more. I need more people in my vineyard. Then he went out the 11th hour, and he gathered some more to come in and work in the vineyard. So he had folks that he had gathered all different times of the day to come and work in his vineyard. But at the end of the day, they all got the same pay. And I thought it was really interesting how Jesus responded if he was the one that owned the vineyard, how he let these folks know they were complaining. Hey, we've been here since hour one. We have worked all day. And you're going to give us a penny. You got people that came in and worked an hour. They're getting the same pay that we're getting. And Jesus said, basically, I'm paraphrasing, you mean you're going to get upset and mad at me because I choose to be good and do good? So good is not necessarily concerned about being fair. It's about being pure and about being just. It's about being godly. So being good is basically what it says. It's being good. And Jesus desires to be good, not only in himself, but he desires to be good in his relationship to us. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 19 says this. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. This is the instance, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, one of my favorite events. It's when Moses said to God, he said, God, I want to see your glory. And God said, Moses, you can't handle my glory because you're still in that physical body. If you were to see me in all of my glory, you would be destroyed instantly because you can't, in that physical body, handle looking at the face of God. So he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in a cleft of the rock. I've got a little gap over here that I'm going to tuck you away. And he said, I'm going to come by you, and I'm going to put my hand over you. And as I pass by you, when I get all my glory is past you, he said, I'm going to remove my hand. And he said, you can see my hinder parts. I thought, that's so cool. I wonder what he actually saw. I'm curious. What did Moses see? But what I want to bring out for us to be reminded of is when God described himself to Moses, he said, I will show you my goodness. In all the other words that God could have described himself with, he said, I'm going to expose my goodness to you when I pass by. So apparently God believes that goodness is a big deal. You know, well, you're just a goody two-shoes. Yeah, has anybody ever called you a goody two-shoes? Have you ever called anybody else a goody two-shoes? Because they try to do the good thing. They try to do the proper thing. They try to do the right thing. I wasn't necessarily called a goody two-shoes that much. Maybe I called other people that more. I should have been a goody two-shoes. But it's choosing to do those things which are right and are proper and are pure. I think goodness and purity kind of go hand in hand. All right, there's another passage of Scripture in Psalm 136 and verse 1, which we read a week or so ago. He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. When you look in the Old Testament, in the old book, the old covenant, you see a lot of instances where God is telling people, I'm good. Remember that I'm good. And a lot of the Psalms, you see that David proclaimed the goodness of God. And I know that it's important, but I'm thinking, why is there such a push, especially in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, for God to want his people to know that he's good? Why is God all about this? Here's why. Because many times it didn't look like God was being good in the Old Testament. When God would wipe out entire nations of people, tribes of people, when God would do the things that he did in the days of Noah, when God literally destroyed the entire world, God, are you being good? Yeah, God's being good. We just don't understand sometimes why God does the things that he does, or why God perhaps allows the things that he allows. But God is always good, and it's difficult at times for us to see that God's being good. Do you ever wonder in your life, in your relationship with God, God, are you really being good? Are you being, you know, we want to be good this year so we can get a prize, we can get a present, we can get a gift. You got to be good to earn this or achieve this. We wonder, is God really being good in my life? And I think the answer is a resounding yes, God is always good. Because when God described himself to Moses, he said, I will pass by you. My goodness will pass by you. So the definition of goodness is God. So what does that say? Do we understand goodness? I don't think we do until we have that relationship with Christ. We'll get into that in just a few moments. Genesis chapter number 50 and verse 20. This is when Joseph was dealing with his brothers, and he exposed himself to them, and he said, you know, I'm your brother, I'm Joseph, I'm the one you were evil toward. But verse 20 says this, but as for you, you thought this evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people. So he's saying God intended what you did for good. It's not that God brought the evil upon Joseph. It's not that God motivated his brothers to be cruel and to put him in a pit, sell him to slavery. It's not that God intended all those things to happen as much as God knew all those things were going to happen. And so what God did is in every instance, in every situation, God had the intention for good to come out of those things. You may not see God working in your life, but he is working. And he is always working to perform good in your life. It may not seem that way. Why? Because we live in a world that is filled with evil people. selfish people, ungodly people live in this world. So the things that happen to you, the circumstances, the situations you find yourself in may not be good in themselves, but understand this, in everything that you face, God intends good to come out of those things. Joseph was able to see through that. I'm not always so keen to see through that. And what do? I complain because I feel like I'm being cheated out of something. I feel like I don't deserve what's happening to me in my life. Well, God, you're just not being good to me. You're not blessing me. You're not watching out for me. No, God is always looking out for me. He is always blessing me, and he's always good to me. People may not always be good to you. Situations may not always be good to you. But God is always striving to work good in your life and in my life as well. Now let's start looking. That was the intro. That was free. That don't cost you anything extra. Now let's get into some things I want to look at in regard to goodness to us, to Christ. First, let's look at the goodness of Christ. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed, of the devil, for God was with him. So he's talking about, it's God talking about what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to just do good all over the place. Everywhere Jesus went, he did good. Everything that Jesus did had the intention of being good and the purpose of being good, and he intended to be good for you. Well, that brings up another thought, doesn't it? Do we feel like everything God does for us is good for us? I don't always feel that way. Because God wants me to do things I don't necessarily want to do. But is God being good? Absolutely, he's being good. Is Christ being good? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit leading me in a good path, in a right? Yes, absolutely he is. I may not see it, or I may not agree with it, but I got to believe in all of my heart that God is being good to me. We said earlier that Jesus chose to leave the glory and splendor of heaven to come to this world. Why? Because he's good. He's good. He's so good that he didn't want us to die and go to hell and never have an opportunity to be with him in heaven. He is so good that he said, I'm going to create you, and I'm going to breathe life into your lungs, and you're going to be a living soul, but I'm so good, I'm not going to leave you because I know you're going to sin against me. I know that you're going to rebel against me. I know you're going to hate me, and you're going to despise me, and I know that you're going to develop a world filled with sin. I know Satan's going to entice you to do things that you never dreamed that you would possibly do, but because I'm good, I'm going to come down. I'm going to die on a cross for you. I'm going to be born and lay in a feeding trough for animals. It's going to be stinky and disgusting. There was nothing beautiful about a manger. I know sometimes we want to beautify it and how we put up our scenes, and when we tell the story, we want to act like all the animals were maybe swaying back and forth as Jesus was in it. I got to say that it's pretty disgusting. I've not been in a ton of barns filled with animals before, but I have been in a few in my life. Not too pleasant. Animals are nasty at times, you know, and you get a bunch of them together chewing and spitting and going on. It's not a pleasant thing. And to imagine where they're eating out of this trough, it's untelling what is really in there. And that's the only place they had to lay Jesus. Jesus knew that going in. He knew it going in that this was going to be how he was introduced to the world. He was going to be born in a place that had no end. Yeah, the inn was full, as Chris said. No room. And so they put him in this barn, put him in this feeding trough. It was the cleanest. If a feeding trough for animals is the cleanest place you have to lay your child, you're in a pretty rough situation. Jesus knew that going in. He said, I am so good, I'm going to do this. I want to be born in humility. It was an example to us that Jesus chose humility. But in everything that we see Christ do, as we read through his life when he was here on this earth, as he interacted with mankind, everything we see the goodness of God. We see the goodness of Christ being poured out upon mankind. Here's a good thought too. when Jesus was dealing with people, did anybody that Jesus dealt with deserve for him to be kind to them? Did anybody deserve for him to be kind to them? Nope. Nobody deserved his kindness. But what did Jesus do? He was kind and good anyway. Why? Because he loves us. The love of God forces Christ to be good to us. It's that deep-rooted love that he has for his creation that causes him to want to be good. So as we get closer to Christ, what are we going to see in our lives? We're going to see us being more good to those people around us. Jesus was good, and he wasn't selective in who he was good to. Again, he said, I'm not worried about being fair. I'm concerned about just being good and being pure and being holy and about doing the right thing. Jesus was good to people nobody else thought he should be good to. Jesus healed people that everybody else would despise. Jesus healed somebody on the Sabbath day, and the religious leaders came and started to bash him over that. What do you mean you're doing? You're working on the Sabbath day? I'm working, Jesus said. I'm working. I healed somebody. I changed their life. And you accuse me of working on the Sabbath day. Yeah, everything Jesus did, he did because he was good. And he was good to everybody that he came into contact with. That is a great thing to remember, because Jesus is not selective in who he will be good to. Because you know what? The more I think about my life, the more I understand I do not deserve God to be good to me. I don't deserve anybody to be good to me. Do you? Do you deserve anyone to be good to you? No, we don't. But I sure am thankful that God is good and he is goodness. He's not only the definition of good and he is goodness in himself, but he expresses that goodness to us and he allows us to experience how wonderful and loving that God is. So Christ is all about goodness. The next thought is that goodness cannot save. We need to really get this one. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And I added Psalm 51 and verse 5 to this. It says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Goodness cannot save you. Because I choose to say, well, I'm going to be good the rest of my life. I'm going to set a list of things that I'm going to try to accomplish in my life to define me as being good, and by that goodness, I will earn a spot in heaven. By that goodness, I will be acceptable in the sight of God. God doesn't care about how good we think we're going to try to be if it relates to earning salvation, because it can never earn salvation. There's no way we can be saved by being good enough to earn salvation. Probably one of the worst misconceptions about salvation is people think they can't earn it. People that have gone to church for years hope that they're being good enough that they can go to heaven one day. People that have grown up in church their whole lives are completely confused on the fact that there's only one way for us to get into heaven, and it's by the precious blood of Jesus Christ plus nothing else. He said it's not of works, lest any man should boast. If we had a part we could play in salvation, if there was a work or something I could accomplish or achieve to be part of salvation, it would be wonderful to me. Why? Because I could gloat in the fact that I did my part so that I could be saved. He is telling us that there's absolutely nothing you and I do to earn or deserve or inherit eternal life. It is all about the blood of Jesus Christ plus absolutely nothing else. I know we've had this discussion before, though. Well, we still have to accept him. That's the man part. Well, I don't know. We can discuss that for hours and debate that for hours. Salvation hinges on one thing and one thing only, the blood of Jesus Christ, plus nothing you or I have ever done or ever will do. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You don't save up and buy it one day. Goodness is wonderful in its proper place, but goodness can never pay for salvation. How many people have strived for years to try to earn that spot in heaven? I know folks that I've talked to when I was younger, they would relive those glory days of when they were younger and when they were serving in the church. And I've had, you know, folks older than me, many of them passed away even, that would talk about all the people they've led to the Lord, all this they've done, all that they've done. And they're reliving and rehashing their goodness and what they think they've done to bring some justification to themselves. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what I think I've done. It's all about the goodness of God. And that's what we need to be concerned about. If there's anything good in me, it's what God has placed in me. My goodness didn't save me. I have no goodness outside of a relationship with Christ. I don't know goodness. So somebody that's unsaved, if they're choosing to be good, they're doing it for a personal reason. They're doing it because they want to accomplish something or gain something within themselves. They're not doing it because it's the good, proper, pure, right thing to do. When we get saved, on the other hand, we start to understand that goodness is there's something about goodness. There's something different about it. I'm not choosing to be good to you because I hope you'll be good in return to me, but I choose to be good because it's the right and pure thing to do, and God leads me to do that. We can't have ulterior motives for why we're good to people, and we for sure must understand that being good is not going to get us a spot in heaven. The next thought is this: goodness is not popular. Gee, that's a Captain Obvious there, isn't it? Goodness is not popular. People, and I think regions, you go in certain areas too, certain states, we'll not mention some of them, but you go to certain places, people are just not very good. They're not very nice, they're not very cordial. Let's get out of my way before I run over you. But goodness is not very popular. Most people desire not to be good. Why? Because it's going to cost them something. John chapter 5 and verse number 16 and 17 said this: "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done those things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them," he said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I also work." Goodness is not popular because goodness costs you something. It costs you to be good. It costs you to go outside of your comfort zone to do something kind for somebody else, to live a life of purity. It must be a conscious decision, but it must be encouraged, led, inspired. You can only accomplish it by a right relationship with God and by leadership of the Holy Spirit. But we must choose to say, "I want to live a life that's good. I want to be good, Lord, like you're good. Jesus is good. God's good. The Spirit's good. I want to be good." But you're going to face opposition if you choose to live a life like this. Because there's a lot of folks around us that are looking out for number one. If we're looking out for ourselves above everybody else, there's no way we're going to feel or experience or demonstrate that element of the fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness. You will not do it as long as we have pride and arrogance in our life. If we're striving to gain the world or get ourselves what we want, we're never going to understand what true goodness is all about. And you know, it is better to give than to receive, isn't it? It's hard to explain that to a child at Christmas, right? It's hard to explain that many times to people in certain situations that it's better to give than to receive. And that's why Terry and I talk about this all the time, about all the kids when we were kids. I mean, goodness, Terry and I were that big. We were little bitty when we started in the Christmas baskets years ago. And we grew up seeing these lives, and we had an opportunity to be good to someone else. What a blessing you take away when you choose to be good to somebody else. How God doesn't only enrich their life through you, but He definitely enriches your life. When we decide, "I want to be like Christ," which means I want to be good. The next is this: goodness sleeps well. How well do you sleep at night? Do you sleep good? Well, I just have trouble sleeping, you say. I can't sleep. I always toss and turn, whatever. Got to get up 4 or 5 times a night. I'm not talking about physically what may keep you from having a good, sound night's sleep. But how well do you rest? Are you at peace within your spirit? Are you at rest? Well, goodness sleeps well. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 says this, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest," that rest, he's talking about, the rest that we have with Christ, "lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." There is a rest, there is a peacefulness that we can have when we choose to say, "I want to be good. I want to have goodness like the goodness of Christ." And when we're living good and we're demonstrating God's goodness, then you know what we're going to do? We're going to rest. We're going to rest well. We're going to be at peace. Jesus was in a boat in the midst of a storm, and what was he doing? He was sleeping. Was Jesus aware that there was a storm? Absolutely he was aware there was a storm, but he could rest. Why? Because he was in the right place he needed to be with the Father. He knew where he needed to be, and he was good. It's not that troubles are not going to come. It's not that storms are not going to rise. But there's an inner peace, an inner rest that we can have. I know that he's talking about the eternal rest that we have when we enter into that seventh day, when our life here is over and done and our work has been accomplished and we enter into that, that bliss with Christ. I know that he's alluding to that in this passage of Scripture, but he's also talking about a rest we can have today and right now by living an obedient life to God. We can be at rest today. When we choose to be good, I think that's one of the benefits of being good and demonstrating goodness is that rest that we have in our relationship with God. And the last one is this: goodness reflects our relationship. Psalm 119:68 says, "Thou," he's talking to the Lord, David's talking to the Lord, "Thou art good and thou doest good. Teach me thy statutes." So we're reminded that goodness is going to be a result, or it's going to reflect where our relationship is, but it's not going to determine that relationship. We're not gaining that relationship with Christ, as we've already made perfectly clear, by being good. But when we have a relationship with Christ, we now have that opportunity to be good and let Christ be demonstrated in our life. Barnabas was, his name literally means son of encouragement. I love that. I remember preaching a message on Barnabas and being the son of encouragement. I think he was somebody that was the epitome of God's goodness, because he went out of his way to be good to people, especially somebody like Saul that had got saved on the road to Damascus and he heard about him. Barnabas went up to bat for him and brought him in to Peter and to the leaders in Jerusalem. I want you guys to meet him. This guy got saved. He's not like he used to be. And we see that goodness coming out in Barnabas to encourage Paul to want to come, to encourage the leaders of the church to want to meet with him. And he made that meeting possible. I'm not sure that Paul would end up being the exact man that he was or have the same path that he had it not been for this man of goodness, this son of encouragement, which was Barnabas. Because he chose to step in and just be good. He chose to step in and do something right and something on that God led him to do. It cost him. Not only did he present him to the leaders, but as Paul went away for I don't know how many years, how many months it might have been, I can't remember offhand, but the leaders called Barnabas to go talk to some people, bring some money back, some tithe money back. So he went and got Paul, and he said, "I want to bring him and take him with me. I want him to see what's going on here, that people are being saved." And I just see that over and over again in the life of Barnabas. He was literally that son of encouragement. So I think he was a son of goodness is basically what it comes down to. He chose to say, "I'm going to be good because God is good." Are you good? Do you consider yourself to be a person of goodness? I know not everything that we do in our life, we're not always going to be kind-hearted. We're not always going to be pure. We're not always going to be loving. There are going to be things that get under our skin. But in general, are you somebody that can be identified to say, that is, if somebody were to define you, would they say, that is a good person? A good person. They've been good to me. Oh, I'd love for that to be said of me, wouldn't you? Oh, yeah, he's a good guy. She's a good lady. They're good. Hey, I like this too. They're good people. Amen. I want that to be said of me. Oh, they're good. They're good. Them people, oh, they're good people. I want to be good. I can only be good by first off having a right relationship with Jesus Christ by believing in him as Lord and Savior. If you've never been saved, that's step one. Because when we get saved, we're then introduced to what goodness is all about. We're not doing something as before to get something in return. We're doing something because it's right and it's proper. So we're introduced to goodness at the point of salvation. Now we have the opportunity to not only be good, but to do good in this world. And I'm telling you, if this world needs to see goodness, it definitely needs to see goodness today, doesn't it? Don't the world need to see there's something better? Doesn't the world need to see there's something worth living for? Doesn't the world need to see that not everybody is out to get them, but there are actually people that care and are concerned about their spiritual well-being? And it's not a lot of hard work. We don't have to go to special classes or schools to learn how to do this. We simply have to be good by obeying the word of Christ. Stand with me as we pray and prepare for our invitation. Father, as we come to you today, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you are goodness. You don't just bring it, God, but you are goodness. And I'm thankful that that's part of the nine elements of the fruit of the Spirit. Need to be reminded that I need to be reminded daily of what goodness is, God. That it's a choice I make to want to follow you, a choice to be kind and to be compassionate to those that are around me. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit convicts me of this regularly, that I understand the importance of how I can affect another life around me, that I have the ability to bring something positive and encouraging in somebody's life by simply being good. Thank you for your goodness, and I pray a blessing of goodness on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcbc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.